Hello and welcome to the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Sports Analytics Podcast. I'm Scott Tappa, Director of the Conference, and I'd like to invite you to attend our event July 13th at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. We have a fantastic speaker lineup taking shape. Please visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference to learn more. Today I'm speaking with one of our presenters, Ryan Elmore. Ryan is a professor of business information and analytics at the University of Denver. And at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Ryan will deliver a talk titled Integer Programming in Daily Fantasy Sports, a Winning Strategy. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. Well, let's get started. Like I start with everyone, tell me a little bit about your background, especially academically, and how that eventually led you into sports analytics in the study of that.
Okay. Well, I went to undergrad in Kentucky at a smallish school called Morehead State University. I went there to play soccer, actually. And when I was declaring a major, I didn't go in with the intention of declaring as a math major. They just happened to ask me, what do you think you'll be majoring in this fall, when I showed up for soccer practice? And I was like, well, I'm good at math, so maybe I'll just become a math major. So that sort of started me down the path of math. And then when I finished my undergraduate degree, I didn't really have a job lined up, and a few other graduates had gone to Miami University to get a master's in statistics, and I thought, well, that seems kind of interesting, so I did that. When I was there, one of my favorite classes was an applied probability course using sort of this classic textbook by Feller and discrete probability, and I just kind of fell in love with that and decided, man, I really need to go on and study this more and get a PhD, so I did that. I did that at Penn State, I've always had this sports, you know, background, sports interest, as I mentioned, playing soccer. And, I just thought it'd be awesome to sort of marry those two passions, the statistics and the sports. But, I never really was in a position to do that. After my PhD, I went to Australia to do a postdoc, and I was kind of set up for the sort of the classic mathematical stats academic track. Had a job initially at Colorado State, while I was there, I interviewed with the Philadelphia Eagles, because, you know, I was always kind of on the lookout for jobs, and they had posted something to the Penn State grad school email list looking for somebody that was interested in sports statistics. So I sent an email, interviewed a few times, ended up not getting the job. And the reason, I mean, one of the reasons why is because I really wasn't doing anything related to sports statistics. So not a huge surprise that I didn't get the job, but it was still a cool experience. Anyway, that sort of kind of lit a flame to, like, there's probably something out there that I could do. Having said that, it took me several years before I actually got back into it. I would say that, after CSU, I worked at a startup for a couple of years, and then I was working at this the National Renewable Energy Lab here in Colorado, and I was on my way to a conference, and I read an article on ESPN about, there are a million articles, I think it was ESPN.com, I can't remember exactly, but there are a million articles where they will claim certain things without any proof, and, you know, being sort of the nerdy person that I am, I guess, I thought, surely there's data out there that can support whether or not this is true. And the claim was something about baseball games being longer than, you know, one of the reasons why people are losing interest in baseball is because the games are becoming too long now. And I thought, well, we can easily check that. So anyway, I decided to scrape a bunch of data, and I, you know, went through and tested whether or not it's actually true. And it kind of seemed like it was true for a few teams, but not that many. In any case, I was like, well, what am I going to do with this? I was working for the National Renewable Energy Lab, and it's not something that we, you know, that's not the type of research that we were doing there. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just blog about it. So I started blogging, and that kind of led to a few other things. So I guess that was a long answer for I've always had these two interests, sports and statistics, and I always wanted to figure out a way to combine the two if possible. Unfortunately, I have recently.
Okay. So let's talk about two other specific things with you in sports analytics. your role consulting with the Denver Nuggets NBA team, and also serving as associate editor of the Journal of Quantitative Analysis in Sports, which you've done for the last couple of years. How did you get involved with both of those gigs, and what did you do in those roles, as much as you can tell us?
Sure. Well, I think for the role with the Nuggets, it's definitely an informal role, but it's one that I really love because I get to do some stuff for them, and I get free tickets every now and then. So that's always awesome. But the way that started is, interestingly enough, when the previous GM left in 2013, they hired this Tim Connelly. Tim Connelly hired Tommy Balchides. And when I saw that Tommy was hired, I didn't know him, but I saw that he was hired and I saw that he had a Twitter account. I just reached out through Twitter. I said, "Hey, you know, are you interested in any sort of pro bono, you know, help? I have a PhD in statistics." And, you know, kind of thinking that those messages are usually kind of lost to the ether, you know, you never really hear back. But fortunately, Tommy was like, "Hey, yeah, I'd love to talk up. Let's, you know, give me a call. Let's have a coffee and we'll just discuss what you might be able to do." Some of the projects that I've done for them, I mean, they kind of range from sort of simple things like, you know, can you just sort of show me how these players sort of compare to other players, other players' careers throughout sort of the history on, with respect to various metrics. Could be like, you know, how many assists per game point guards are getting, and, you know, like how do they compare at the age of whatever it may be, to help building sort of automated reports using, you know, R and R markdown, those sort of things. To sort of more involved problems related to, you know, what's it looking like? What are our playoff chances looking like at this point in the season, you know, like compared to sort of historical performance? So I'd say there's sort of a wide range of problems that Tommy will send me every now and then. And sometimes we just get together to talk about just R tips. You know, I really got him to use the R software. So, as far as he's concerned, would be considered an R expert. So he reaches out to talk about R every now and then. Going back to your second question there, the Journal of Quantitative Analysis of Sports, I had been asked to review a few articles for him a few times. I've always been sort of a fan of the journal. So it's, you know, I would keep up with what's going on in the latest issues, that sort of thing. And then a few years ago, actually through my NREL, or National Renewable Energy Lab, if I say NREL, that's National Renewable Energy Lab. Through my NREL connection, I went to a DOE conference, and the person who organized the conference is also an associate editor. So I asked her, I was like, "Hey, how did you become an editor?" And she said, "Oh, I just, you know, reviewed a few articles, and I guess I did a pretty good job," and asked, you know, reached out and said to whoever the editor was at the time, she said they asked her to be an associate editor. So I thought, well, that seems like kind of the place that I'm at. I think I did a pretty reasonable job on my reviews, so I'll reach out to the editor and see what he says. And I was going to a conference that Mark Lichtman happened to be going to as well. Or actually, Mark was the organizer of the conference, so he was definitely going to be there. So I just asked to meet up at the conference, and he was like, "Yeah, you know, if you're interested, I'll send some stuff your way." I think journals are always kind of looking for some help. So I don't think it was anything unique about my background that kind of got me the position or anything.
True. So what are some of the articles that you've or papers that you've reviewed for this journal?
In the associate editor role, I guess I've done a bit with actually daily fantasy sports. So there was one related to basketball and how you're going to, you know, kind of an optimal lineup selection related to basketball. It didn't appear in the journal, was actually rejected, but it was still an interesting article. Some related to fourth downs. It was related to football. That was the latest one. That was a few months ago, and I'm having a hard time recalling exactly the details, but it was related to, you know, what should you do on any particular down at any particular yard line on the field. So they had kind of done a pretty comprehensive review of like different strategies and scenarios for what a coach might want to do on, and I think it was related to college football.
Okay. So closer to campus where you work at the University of Denver, maybe a little bit of an under the radar quality athletic program you have there. I know you guys got a really good hockey team.
Under the radar, we won the championship this year.
So. I say that with all respect because I used to old Wisconsin Badger hockey fan. Denver was a good rival of ours in the old WCHA, but not a lot of Division I football, big time basketball stuff like that. But
right.
A lot of quality teams in your own right. So no disrespect meant. But what sorts of work have you done with analytics in your athletic department?
Thanks for asking because I wanted to plug them actually. So I reached out to the athletic department a little under a year ago, I guess. And, I just said that I'm somewhat new to the university and I am the journal I'm not the journal. I'm the associate editor at this journal. I have a big interest in sports. So, if you would ever want to meet up, I'd love to. So I can't remember exactly what his title is, but Ron Graham, who was, an NHL goalie back in the day, he reached out to me and he's like, hey, we'd love to talk. So during that meeting, the women's lacrosse coach just happened to be walking by. So Ron grabbed her and he was like, hey, this guy wants to help out. Do you guys have any problems? So I made a few dashboards for them, that just with their practice, they record. I mean, it's kind of insane, but it's not unique to our athletic department, but a lot of people still record data, with pencils and papers, and then they never look at it again. So I'm like, you have this data, let's just look at it and see what's going on. So that project was related to something just different things that they care about throughout the course of their project, like shots on goal, missed shots, face-off, right? Actually, it wasn't face-offs one for women's lacrosse, but various other things. And they wanted to, or I wanted to see it broken down by player. When I showed it to them, they were like, oh, wow, this is super cool. But then, they had a million other things going on. So that project kind of fizzled out. Fortunately, I got hooked up with some of the sports scientists that work with men's lacrosse. So we kind of did a similar project for men's lacrosse this past semester. And I should mention that was with the help of a couple of different grad students. So we just compiled a bunch of the data that they were putting into Google Sheets and said, all right, well, let's look at this stuff in a more presentable way. And let's see how we can visualize some of this information that you guys are collecting, make it available to the players as well. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get, the hockey program to do something. I think it's kind of a tough sell for me to go up to them and say, hey, you guys need some help with analytics, given that they just won the championship.
Right.
I don't know whether or not that's going to happen or what, but I'd love the opportunity to work with those guys as well.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a university that has a robust athletic department just has a lot of potential for working together as both a training ground for students and faculty to work on real life projects, but also for the teams to get a competitive edge for probably on a budget cost, on a budget low cost basis.
That kind of raises a point, and something that I've talked to them about is, I think it'd be awesome if there were, if we could sort of embed a group of motivated undergrad or grad students within the department, and I could oversee them on sort of whatever they're doing, but they could just kind of serve as sort of freelance data analysts for the various programs. And I mean, I think it would be a huge win for the students because I have a million students that want to do something related to sports analytics, and they all need experience.
Yeah. Do you teach any classes specific to that, or is it a part of any of your courses?
I don't currently, but next year I'm teaching a course on sports analytics.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So let's talk about the topic of your talk at our conference, daily fantasy sports. Something that you really couldn't avoid if you watched ESPN at all a year or two ago when FanDuel and DraftKings were inundating us. My at the time, 7-year-old got involved with it on a limited basis. He didn't do that well, but no, he asked his godfather, my brother-in-law said, what are you on for your birthday? He said, I'd like some DraftKings credits. he squandered them rather quickly. which I maybe was a little bit relieved by that. But anyway, obviously a big business, fantasy sports in general. How can we use analytics? How can players use analytics to get better at that?
Well, I would say that, you know, probably like your 7-year-old son, if you're not using some sort of analytical background or various tools to select lineups, then you probably are going to lose relatively quickly. I think the thing that I saw a talk at, I went to the Sloan Sports Conference last year and saw somebody giving a talk on, you know, their strategy of selecting lineups using sort of a similar approach that I'll describe at the conference that, you know, I'm going to, that you're hosting. They claim that they won like, you know, $20,000+ in just a few days or something. So I, you know, initially I'm like, holy crap, I can, sorry about that. But I was like, I can just, maybe this is my next career, you know, doing daily fantasy sports rather than, you know, teaching, but not that I want to do that, obviously. But anyway, I thought like, I want to study the math, you know, that's what's interesting about this to me. So I kind of read through their paper. And then there was one question that kind of just stuck in my mind. And it was like, well, you know, they've gone through a lot of awesome methods, but I thought, well, the central question for me is like, how much better do I need to be to sort of all the other players in a given contest to win consistently? And so I'm approaching that problem from sort of a statistical or probabilistic perspective. And then like applying what I learned there, like how much better do I need to be to the actual integer programming problem that I'll talk about at your your conference. And it's just a really cool math problem at its heart. Like I definitely didn't do it to win a bunch of money because I quickly learned that I'm not going to. there's a reason why some of these people are pros at this and they spend a lot more time at playing daily fantasy sports than me or your son, I guess.
Sure. I'm looking forward to learning more about that. Yeah. Ryan, how would you advise somebody who came to you and said, I want to get involved in sports analytics? You have your path.
Yeah.
The person I talked to seems to have a slightly different, but very similar in some ways to path. What would you say?
Well, I think it kind of goes, at least here at DU, I think it kind of goes back to one of the things that I had talked about just previously. And I would love for students to be working on problems within our own athletic department. But given that doesn't exist right now, the students that come to me and ask, like, how do I get involved in this? I would say, well, the biggest thing that you need to do is you need to start working on something. Okay. Whether or not you're working for somebody in particular, I don't think it really matters at this point for the undergrads, I would say. But unless you go to, you know, if by chance you're lucky enough to get interviewed by one of these sports organizations, if you don't have that portfolio of projects that you can show them to kind of prove your aptitude, you're definitely not going to get hired. You know, so I tell everybody, like, think of interesting questions that you've read about online or, you know, your friends might be talking about or something, and just say, is there a data, you know, can you back up these claims using data, or is there something in your mind that you can use data to sort of inform the next step on something, some sports related question that you've been thinking about? And if so, like, let's go out, collect a bunch of data and test it. And then I think the next thing that you need to do is start working on sort of writing up these various questions and solutions, because if you can't communicate what you want to, if you can't communicate the results to various stakeholders in an organization, you're never going to get hired. And if you were hired, you're never going to last if you can't communicate the results. So I feel like, you know, solving problems that you're interested in and then going out and communicating the results, whether it's blogging, writing reports, going to conferences, whatever it may be, I think those are two super important pieces.
Good advice. Ryan, where can people connect with you online or follow you on social media?
I'm pretty much at RT Elmore, so RTELMORE, on Twitter, GitHub, and the various other properties, maybe Stack Overflow, a bunch of other stuff. So that's it.
And as you said before, Twitter works. connecting with Twitter works. It really does. So, hey, Ryan, thanks for the time. Again, my guest today has been Ryan Elmore of the University of Denver and at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference. Ryan will deliver a talk titled Integer Programming in Daily Fantasy Sports, a Winning Strategy. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me today, Ryan.
Well, thank you, Scott. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to visiting in July.
Awesome. Looking forward to having you. And thank you for listening today. The Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference will be Thursday, July 13th at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference for details. And make sure to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at @analyticsconf. Thanks for listening.